You're listening to the Ohio Conference Cast, where we explore topics related to the workings of Ohio Conference. Here are your hosts, Bill Seymour and Thomas Dunn.
Hello, and welcome to the Ohio Conference Cast. We are on site here at the Missional Gathering. Is it a gathering, a conference? It's well, you don't have a mic, Bill, so they can't hear you. But this is where Alan and Deb Hirsch are speaking to us. And we are on site at Kidron Mennonite, and we have a couple guests with us. So, Bill, we will let you introduce the guests.
So that was Thomas, and this is Bill, and Thomas can't count. We have three guests. Joel, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Joel Shank. I'm the pastor from Toledo Mennonite Church. I've been there 6.5 years.
Excellent. Hannah, how about you?
I am Hannah Troyer, and I live in Akron, Ohio. I go to Summit Mennonite Church in Barberton.
Okay, and Carla?
I'm Carla Minter, and I'm Church Relations Representative for Mennonite Mission Network to this region.
So Carla is our token national body person for the podcast, and the first national body person we've had on our podcast. So congratulations, Carla.
Thank you.
All right, so we have had two sessions with Alan Hirsch thus far, and so we just wanted to get some feedback from the folks. All five of us in the room were at both sessions, so why don't we just get some feedback? Joel, why don't you just give us, you know, first impressions, some takeaways. What have you thought of the day thus far?
Yeah, well, I've really appreciated hearing from Alan. I understand Deb will speak later in some other sessions, but I've read a few of Alan's books and appreciate what he has to say in terms of challenging the church to take its missional calling seriously. The biggest thing I'm taking away from these first two sessions is he really challenged us to have a definition of discipleship, which was number one, do we have a definition of discipleship? And then number two, the one that he provided I thought was really helpful, the idea of doing what Jesus did for the same reasons that Jesus did them. And I think it's, in my experience, the church has done a better job of doing what Jesus did and having that part of the definition, but not as well doing it for the reasons Jesus did it, or being able to articulate that they're doing it for the same reasons that Jesus are doing it. So that the two sides of the same coin of that definition of discipleship was helpful for me.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound hard at all. So, Carla, you work with Mennonite Mission Network, which probably should be a little missional. So what do you think about what Joel said in terms of discipleship, and does that have any intersection with Mennonite Mission Network?
Yes. And I think Alan and Deb are excellent resource persons to bring to a conference like this, because Anabaptists fit well with the concept of discipleship and Jesus being at the core of our faith. And absolutely, you need to be centered in your faith with Jesus at the center, because Jesus shows us the way to God. And then our living out that faith happens in our communities and then also in our world, whether it's our neighborhoods or farther away. So as Anabaptists, that's what we say. And it's helpful to have someone who hasn't been as immersed in the Mennonite church to come and remind us that that's important. And also to encourage us to do it in a new way. The first two sessions were called Re-Jesus and Re-Disciple. And to talk to Mennonites about, trying to become Christ-like, that's language that we use a lot. But then it's, so how do we do that? And how do we know that we're getting closer to that? And so I appreciate that challenge. And he's right on. It's been very helpful.
Thank you. And I see, Hannah, you have a whole notebook of stuff there in front of you. So what would you say? What are some takeaways you've got there?
Well, I wanted to bring it so I remembered what I took notes on, because it was so just information dense. And just, he said so many awesome things that were just resonating with me. But one of the first things that he actually said before he really got into any of the bulk of what he was talking about was that we don't truly know Scripture until we obey it. And that really resonated with me, because I feel like a lot of times you know, we sit around at church and in our meetings and we talk about what we need to do better as Christians and how we can be more Christ-like, and how we can live that out. We talk about it, but we don't actually get around to doing all of it. Sometimes we do, but oftentimes a lot of it just gets left on the table. And
for example, one of the attendees, and I won't call him out, confessed to the crowd that on his way to a missional conference about being a good neighbor, passed by a guy on the side of the road who needed help because he didn't have time to help him. Mm-hmm. So that by way of a good example of, well, how we can get better.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's exactly what Jesus is about. You know, we talk about how Jesus is about hanging out with the people that are lesser. They're the fringe of society. And what does that look like? You know, when do we stop talking about it? And when do we actually start obeying and doing those, you know, sometimes hard things?
Yeah. Am I allowed to give takeaways too, Bill, or are we just listening to? Yeah.
Thomas, what do you think?
Thanks, Bill. I was is impressed by the dynamic that he's studied movements over the course of centuries, and so a couple of things that he pulled out is he compared discipleship versus church, and he says how movements are way more focused on discipleship, and so it starts to grow exponentially, and the church is a much lower focus, and then when the church becomes a higher focus, discipleship minimizes, and I think that's a sadly accurate diagnosis of where we're at now, is that we are very church focused, very Sunday morning, like 9 to 11 focused, even like that's our hyper focus right there. And discipleship kind of falls off to the side. And yeah, that was kind of a aha moment for me, kind of also an oh crap moment. But like, it was interesting to hear that. And now I'm hoping he starts to piece that together for us of, okay, if we have that backwards, here are some steps to starting to right the ship.
And I would add that perhaps the reason we've gotten off that balance out of balance is that church is easy to define, right? It's a Sunday morning thing from this time to this time, and there's an order of worship, and we have that definition down. And the definition of discipleship is harder to define, and it's harder to do, perhaps, but if we don't have a definition for it, then we won't know if we're ever making progress towards that. And so, yeah, that was one of the reasons why that was what I mentioned in my first comment about discipleship is doing what Jesus did for the reasons that Jesus did it. That at least points us towards a definition of how we could talk about discipleship and actually mean something by it rather than just saying the word. Mm-hmm. And it would help us to define that better and make more progress to it.
So, Hannah, can I put you on the spot for a minute? So you are a 20-something person who is an active and valued part of a Mennonite congregation in Ohio Conference. We don't have a lot of those kinds of people. Is there something particularly that you heard today that speaks the longings that you are aware of people in your generation?
Yeah, definitely. I think people in the millennial generation are much less interested in organized church and much more interested in actually doing what the church is supposed to be doing. And I think that's what we're moving towards as the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings kind of gain more leadership roles. I just hope we can keep moving towards that and not fall into some of those easy sort of traditions that we've always done and we've always had, and focusing, you know, hyper-focusing on that Sunday morning service, getting more into our communities. We live in Akron, Ohio, and so that's a much more urban community. and so there's much more space for being in the community and doing those things right in our neighborhoods.
Huh. Interesting. So, Carla, you and I are the older two of the people in this room, and I do not believe either one of us are old enough to remember the early 60s, but in your recollection of maybe cousins or aunts and uncles in your family or people that you knew, would you say that in those early days of that generation, the thinking may have been similar to what millennials are thinking as expressed by Hannah?
I think I was, and this is something that Alan made a point of, is that the church is always renewing itself. So we came out of a Reformation, but that in every generation, we need to find out who is Christ for us today and how will we be faithful. So those are ongoing questions that the church asks. So maybe we are at a point now where it is, the question is ripe, more ripe than it has been, and millennials are bringing that to us. And I think, too, those of us that have passed middle age and have changed the way we want to do church are also asking, I think, similar questions to millennials. So I think it's exciting that several generations are catching a renewed vision. One thing that really captured my imagination was the embodiment of discipleship. That was something he focused on. And Mennonites, you know, we say discipleship, we mean becoming followers of Christ, not just intellectually, but really becoming followers. And I think that's a step further than just like being educated in your head to know what the Bible says. We really do want to follow Christ. And then how to do that is the next, so how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And so he was saying, make it an embodiment, and a very clear example would be to take your core values and change them into behaviors. And I'd heard about the book, in fact, one of your earlier podcasts focused on Paula Snyder-Belusic, and she introduced the book their congregation is doing, Surprise the World, and then he used that as an example, which is great. You guys are like prophetic.
Bill and I are not going to be able to walk out the door right now. Our heads are so big.
That's right. But that was a challenge, to take that back into a congregation and say, what core practices can we put into place that name our core values? And that itself is a way that we can become followers of Christ. I thought that was brilliant. And he gave a lot of background as to why that works, why our bodies and our minds, that actually helps us change our behavior, not only our thinking, but our behavior. So that was very exciting.
Well, let's wrap this up, and let's give all of our guests one more chance to give your final thoughts of the day. So why don't you guys close us? Joel, we'll start with you and just go around the room.
Well, I'm certainly interested to hear more and to keep going in these concepts. I as a pastor, I feel it's my job to equip the congregation for ministry and for mission, not only to feed religious goods and services. And so this missional church concept that's been around for a while, and specifically Alan's comments about, you know, really challenging the church to spend more energy in areas of discipleship, not neglecting a worship service per se, but also giving good time and energy to discipleship. That's a real call and a real challenge, but also a passion that I have as a pastor. And so to keep being able to flesh those ideas out, to be able to take back to my congregation is something that I'll grow from.
I think that one of the biggest things that I'll definitely go home kind of meditating on is just raising the bar for discipleship and lowering the bar for church, which is something that he talked about in these last two sessions, and kind of thinking about how I, as the chair for our outreach committee, am going to bring that back to our church and just kind of say, you know, here you go, like, let's figure out what we're going to do with this and actually start to form some habits that are Christ-like.
Lowering the bar for church, you mean you mean the Sunday morning experience and
right.
How difficult it is to participate.
Yeah, right. By no means am I saying we shouldn't have church on Sunday mornings. I think it's definitely something that we need to have that fellowship and to have that kind of community with each other. But when that's all we have, then is that really Christ-like? Is that really Christianity? Or is that just religion, which is something else that he talked right. about?
Or if we make it so complicated to participate, then we've lost track of where we are.
Right.
Okay, Carla, what about you?
Well, back to one of his opening comments, he said the church needs to be reformed in, you know, throughout generations. So what we need to do is go back to the founding story, which is Jesus Christ. And then that really launched his day's conversation. But my big question to the church is, how do we know when we are following Jesus Christ? Because he talked, too, about how we can make Christ in our own image. And we need to be accountable to each other. So in my work with congregations across multiple states and across theological spectrums, I hear people say, we are all about Jesus. And I hear congregations who are theologically and in practical ways very different from each other, in fact, deciding that they can't be in the same denomination, saying we're all about Jesus. So that's my question is, how do we know that we are truly following the Jesus of the Gospels? And I think that's exciting to explore that and to continue in that journey.
Okay, so thank you for that drop the mic question. So everybody can spend all night trying to figure out the answer to that. And it is the question of the day for sure. Well, we thank you for joining us for this episode of Ohio Conference Cast. Tomorrow, we plan to have an interview with Deborah and Alan Hirsch, and that should be published by the time, hopefully, by the time you wake up Saturday morning. While I'm talking about that, I want to give a shout-out and a thank you to Ann Lehman, who publishes these things, and Norm Sohar, who does the technical work. Now, if the quality of tonight's podcast wasn't great, it's because Norm is busy tonight, and I'll be doing the editing. But in the last couple, or anyway, with our new equipment, we also have a new technician, and we're just really grateful. So thank you. Thomas is telling me it's time to go. Thomas, is it time to go?
Yes, it's about to start the next session.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Ohio Conference Cast.
Thanks for listening to the Ohio Conference Cast. We would like to hear from you. You can email us at ohioconferencecast@gmail.com with any topics or questions you would like us to explore.